Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Wednesday, join us as we explore heart health and homeopathy, a show co-hosted by Homeopathy World Community founder and homeopath, Debbie Brook, with Dr. Adolf Chimsanawala Kasim, MD cardiologist. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your questions. Let's go.
Hi, I'm Debbie Brook, founder of Homeopathy World Community. Today is January 4th, 2012. We're coming up to like show number 10, co-hosted with Dr. Adil Kasim, MD, a fourth generation homeopath. And he has been delving in and specializing in clinical cardiology and using homeopathy and many other energy medicines, healing modalities, nutritional assistance to his patients to get them on the right track to health and heart health. Today, Dr. Adil will be talking about diabetes, heart, and homeopathy. And I'm going to check the line to see that he has already called in, and we really welcome him to the show with a great day. Okay, what we need to
Hi,
do...
Hi, Debbie.
Hello, Dr. Adil. It has been so long. I hope you've had a wonderful holiday season and a new year.
Exactly, and I wish you the same. Wish you a very, very happy new year, 2012. By the way, what's your new year resolution?
My new year resolution, I have quite a few of them, but I'm getting some reverberation and echoes. I don't know whether you have your show on your speaker. You're going to have to put the show off, the sound. Okay, one of my New Year's resolutions is to take care of the hardest chores and errands and put that on a priority list to do those first in the day.
How does that sound? That's perfect. Mine is, no one is in charge of your happiness except you, so I'm going to be in charge of my happiness, and I'm going to make 2012 much happier for me and my family.
That sounds good. It's absolutely true. Happiness is an inner quality. It is not something that anybody can do for another person. It's all dependent upon their life attitude. And even if things are bad, even if we have a bad economic, financial outlook on the outside, the inside can still look brighter.
Exactly. And one of the main features would be to educate people as much as I can regarding heart diseases and homeopathy and many more disorders concerning heart and what homeopathy can do with them.
Right.
And
so
today,
I want to just check that we have the chat line open and let folks know that we have Dr. Adil on a regular basis on Wednesday morning and for 60 minutes because you have so much information to give. And that you can share the shows on your website. You can embed them. You can put them on Twitter, on Facebook, on other social networks. You can even blog about these shows so that people can learn more. Because this show has reached such a large audience. Hundreds of people have listened, and people have actually called you for help.
Exactly. And I'm so happy and so soul-satisfying this show has been for me. Because I could actually help people in dire emergencies and could save lives and couple of cases I have told you on the show, couple, many of them have not spoken of. But then it's the soul satisfying thing to know that you can be of great help to people whom you have never seen, never heard, never met, but only via the show they could hear you and they could ask for help, and luckily with homeopathy the help was given.
Okay, so I'm going to just let you take it away. I know you could probably talk for hours, and I'm looking forward to learning how diabetes is related to heart disease.
Well, talking about diabetes, recently one of my friends, he's quite young, he's only 35 years, and he started developing a few glands in his axilla. And he just told me, asked me, Adil, what can be the situation? I said, just get biopsy done, and unfortunately it turned out to be a Hodgkin's lymphoma. And he was very sad and depressed, and the entire family was depressed with their hearing the news. And I actually congratulated him. I said, see, his name is Hemant. I said, Hemant, this is one of the best diseases to get. I mean, it's completely curable. It will take you 6 months. And luckily, you have been saved from disorders like diabetes. I mean, they are deadly and they are lifelong. Hodgkin's lymphoma is such a easy disorder to be cured and gives 100% results. So diabetes is this sort of disorder. I mean, it really is a killing disorder. The earliest mention of diabetes I read in somewhere was in 1500 BC in Egypt. So many years ago. And globally throughout, there are 366 million diabetics. And unfortunately, India leads the world. It's followed next by China. And the lowest figures are in sub-Saharan Africa. We have not less than 62.4 million diabetics throughout our country and 77.2 million pre-diabetics. And unfortunately, this conversion ratio of pre-diabetics to diabetics is on a fast rise. Actually, the press, the Indian press has labeled this as a Murdoch phenomenon. Because starting from 1980s, a 0.4% rise in diabetics in rural areas and 2% rise in urban areas was seen. And this proliferation of diabetes is similar to Rupert Murdoch's invasion of journalism and television. I hope the media agrees to this statement. And in India and Indian subcontinent also, the average age of diabetes is going down considerably. Initially, we used to have diabetes as late as 60 years or 70 years of age. But now we are seeing diabetics of, say, 13, 14, 15 years. It's very sad.
Okay, we've introduced today's show in the new year that you have made a resolution to be happy, and it's up to you to be happy, and immediately you started the very first illustrations of cases as persons who would be depressed from hearing sad news about a disease, about a diagnosis of one type or another. But you have tried to turn that around in some way. And then you went ahead and told us these gargantuan figures, these numbers of diabetes in the world, and how it is a killing disease, it is a devastating disease, and yet again you're ending up saying it's very sad. So I can see how if you're working with patients every day with heart disease or diabetes, it can be depressing. So what do you do? What do you say to turn that around?
I mean, yes, that's one part of the story. It's not the complete story. Diabetes, of course, is a sad disease. But that does not mean, if you learn to live with your diabetes very well, and homeopathy can really help to do so.
Yes.
Is the voice cracking?
No, I hear you fine.
Okay. So, if you can hear, live with your diabetes well, and homeopathy can surely help you to do so, I think diabetes can be a disease which is not so bad as it sounds.
It's not so bad as it sounds because you have methods and approaches to maintain the person's health and so that it does not decline.
Exactly. Now, let us understand basically what diabetes is. I mean, for lay people also, diabetes is just a word, but then many people don't know. Diabetes is basically a metabolic disorder rather than an epidemic of the 21st century. Most of the food what we eat is broken down into glucose, which is the body's main fuel. After digestion, the glucose enters the bloodstream, then it goes to the various cells throughout the body where it is used for energy. Now, for this, a hormone called insulin must be present to allow glucose to enter all the cells wherever it is required. In normal people, the pancreas is a small gland behind the stomach. Automatically produces the right amount of insulin so that the glucose moves from the blood into the cells. However, diabetes develops when the pancreas does not make enough insulin, number one, or the cells in the same muscles, liver and fat do not use insulin properly, or both. As a result, the amount of glucose in the blood increases while the cells are starved of energy. Over time, this high blood glucose levels damage the nerves, the blood vessels, and finally leads to heart disease, strokes, vision loss, kidney failure, and amputations, and a host of other abnormalities. So this is basically what diabetes is. Technically speaking, diabetes is detected when the fasting blood sugar, I mean 12 hours fasting when you take the blood sugar levels, if it's greater than 126 milligrams per deciliter. And the post-meal, after 1.5 hours of meal you've consumed, if the blood sugar levels are greater than 140 milligram per deciliter, then you may be labeled as a diabetic. Broadly, there are two different types of diabetes. One is type 1 and type 2. Type 1 is insulin deficit diabetes, wherein the patients are completely dependent on external insulin because the pancreas, over a period of time, stops manufacturing insulin, or the insulin manufactured is not used at all. Whereas type 2, we have got hyperinsulinemia, and the insulin production is more than average, but unfortunately, the areas where they have to be used, the insulin is not being used properly. So in both these cases, we have got insulin deficiency form syndrome, and that is nothing but diabetes.
So that's a really good introduction about the way that the body uses insulin or has an inability to get the proper amount to the cells. And it's very, very important to the functioning of the body. Is there any other further?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, one of the very, very important things for people in general to know, homeopaths in particularly, is a state which is very well recognized. It's called pre-diabetic state. In homeopathy, we have been saying for a long time that you always have a state of predisposition. That means you're predisposed to diabetes. And symptomatically, if I have a family history of diabetes in the blood relatives, if I lead a sedentary life, if my waist circumference has increased to 40 inches in men, or in females it is 35 inches, depending upon the geography, of course, or if the lady gives birth to a baby greater than 4 kilograms, or she is diagnosed with gestational diabetes, or if her high-density lipoprotein, HDL, cholesterol, is below 35 milligram per deciliter, is a good cholesterol, or triglyceride levels above 250 milligram per deciliter, or there's impaired fasting glucose, severe obesity, then these are very, very positive indicators that one may end up with diabetes disease.
Well, Dr. Adel, this is New Year and making resolutions. How do you encourage your patients? I mean, they walk in and you see these signs. You see increasing waistline or the other obesity, or perhaps their nutrition is not correct or they're eating the wrong things. How do you encourage people to get on track?
First and foremost, I educate them. I mean, where are they heading to? Because most of the patient population, they take the diabetes so lightly until they get the disease proper. And it's quite shocking. And they have to live with the entire disease throughout their life.
Right. So people have a natural tendency to put things off or not to face the problems that they're having, especially the epidemic of obesity and diabetes.
Exactly. I always tell them, till when? Till when are you going to ignore the fact that, yes, you are a pre-diabetic and you're ultimately going to end up in diabetes someday or other? You have to do it someday. Start now.
Right. If not,
we're here
now,
to help
when?
You. As doctors, we are not only there to give medications. We are there to give you help. We are there to give you positive instructions and help you come out of the state before going in for the disease. And here, homeopathy is a very, very big role to play. Because your person has yet not developed diabetes. Once you take the entire history and a constitutional drug is selected, the patient may not develop diabetes at all. She may remain in that pre-diabetic state. So it's a very, very positive thing, and homeopaths especially need to know that there is something as pre-diabetes as a state before the actual disease develops.
Right. So I'm going to ponder personally what it is that we can think or say to people to take the condition seriously before it gets out of hand, because once things actually, the pathology changes, it's much more difficult to turn the times of clock, the clock back. It's much easier to stop it in its tracks before it progresses. So
exactly.
I'm trying to think of the mental things of what it is that people, do people need to be shocked and scared the same way that they have packages on cigarette, you know, the cigarette packages show the pathology of the disease. What can we do to encourage people? Go ahead.
First of all, ask the patient not to be scared, but at the same time, be concerned and tell them to move out of the artificial life. That everyone today now has a private vehicle, cable television, economic liberalization, mobile phones, computers, processed foods, and they all ultimately are leading to significant reduction in physical activity.
Exactly.
So one of the first aim is to let go of your things, let go of modern gadgets. Instead of talking on computers to your friends via Skype or any other thing, please talk person to person. Instead
right.
of burning petrol, please burn your fat. Just walk about the distance for a grocery shop or stop consuming aerated drinks as often. If you have a birthday or a New Year party, instead of celebrating with cakes and pastries, celebrate it with people who are around you in some other way. Go to a old age home and just share your happiness. Why do you always need to celebrate with foods? Such heavy foods.
Right.
That's the basic thing one would require. If the people just follow this, I am very sure many of our pre-diabetics would not end up in that pathetic disease called diabetes.
Right. So in a way, you know, our technology today is very, very helpful in terms of communication and spanning the miles, the fact that we're able to talk to each other from America to India. However, when we become so reliant on it that we're driving our cars, and they're trying to make some legislation in the United States now across the country that would be illegal to drive your car and have your cell phone on to text or something because it causes accidents. But in the same way, we are so connected to our machines that we're not actively moving our bodies, and that is one of my resolutions for this year, to get out more.
Exactly. 3 years old children, 3 years old child, my child, I'm so surprised. I have to push him out of the computer. He knows my computer gadgets, my mobile phones better than me. But then when I tell him to go and play outside a football or a cricket game, he sulks. So that's a sad state of event. The trend is not correct.
So that means it means that you have to get out there on the field with him.
We have to. As a parent, as a concerned parent, and if I have a strong family history of diabetes, I should make that and should ensure that I don't give it to my child directly.
Right. So we have to be models for the next generation. I'm sure that you want to continue on and teach us more specifically how the heart disease and diabetes are related and how you deal with it homeopathically.
Yeah, another thing is, India is particularly very high, 26% of a figure of low birth weight. During antenatal care checkup, when the pregnant female comes to us, we have to take particular care that the baby she's carrying should not be low birth weight, because these people, these low birth weight babies, have a very high preponderance of developing diabetes.
Interesting.
Like, Yeah. So that is specially to be taken care of, and even, and secondly, vaccinations. And just today itself, I was reading Dr. Lawrence Palawski. He's one of the very famous board certified pediatricians of US. And he says that, I quote him, "It is heartbreaking because I see many of these kids who are developmentally normal, who are doing well, who are speaking, then whose voice and eye contacts were lost, who went into seizures, who developed asthma, allergies and diabetes, and they had nowhere to go because their doctors told them that they don't know what they're talking about. These kids are real. The literature is showing that there are changes in the immune system of children who are vaccinated, especially if you vaccinate them before 1 year of age or even at 1 day of age. There is literature, it's good scientific literature, and it shows that more and more of these kids who are suffering from chronic illnesses like diabetes are suffering from impairments of the immune system caused due to vaccination. Now, Debbie, it's up to us to decide whether all children need to be vaccinated or not."
This is a major controversy, Dr. Otto, because in America, they are promoting more and more vaccinations for every age range and group, male and female, for every different type of illness. They consider it preventative medicine to be giving all of these vaccinations. And we're up against a huge monopoly on the media and on medical care. So we're against the times by saying these types of things. And
so why not promote homeopathic vaccination? Homeopathic vaccination is nothing but the administration of a nosode, and is decided not on the clinical features a person has. It has to be decided by the family history. For example, if I have a family history of tuberculosis or diabetes, I should get tuberculinum as my nosode, and that is my vaccination, and it will help me not to get diabetes at a very young age. So as
It's very innovative thinking. It is against the traditional classical Western mode of thinking and the way that they teach medicine in the medical colleges. So this is a really different way of approaching epidemic diseases, whether they are contagious or hereditary.
Actually, in India also, and I visit Malaysia and other Asian countries, the same situation as in US exists here. And people are for vaccinations left, right, and center. And they just test 25, 30 people, and the entire report is published saying that vaccine is completely normal. But what about, real kids we see daily and day in and day out? What about people developing metabolic disorders at the age of, say, 10, 11, 12, or 14 years? That's pathetic. You are vaccinating from a disease which is curable, say diphtheria, and giving them as a gift that disease like diabetes and allergies. That's that.
So you're making a correlation now between taking the vaccination for these types of diseases, and as a result, weakening the immune system and developing other types of chronic illness.
I don't say weakening, it's perversion. Perversion of immune system, developing such autoimmune disorders. Autoimmune means self-immunity. It's sad. See, the preponderance of such metabolic disorders hardly 25 years ago, when there were very few vaccinations or no vaccinations, and now we have got 17 vaccinations for a child, less than 1 year of age, and see the number of disorders have grown hoopla. Left, right, and center, they're going day in and day out, year, new disorders.
Right. So how come the traditional medical system is not making the correlation?
They also know that, because in India particularly, majority of my friends, colleagues from my allopathic side, they come to me for their vaccinations. For vaccination of the young children. They don't want to give allopathic vaccination.
Uh-huh.
And so we have really created a positive awareness that homeopathy has got a definite thing to offer. Please take it.
Well, I think that India is going to be the lead in the field of medicine in the coming decade. And I really hope that the awareness will spread from the center of, I don't know whether it's Mumbai or where, But in India, the fact that the government is bringing this into the general well system, and yeah. I do call it a well system, not a sick system, that it is based on prevention and wellness and nutrition and caring for the Ayush, caring for mother and child, and
exactly.
other major programs.
See, actually, Debbie, whenever we are speaking about health, we end up in speaking about sickness. We never talk about maintaining health per se. We always uh-huh. land up with names of disorders and sicknesses. So sickness is perverted health. We never talk about health. When will we start talking about health?
Because they don't understand what it is. They don't even have the mentality to understand. We're constantly trying to define what is health, and people don't realize what it is.
And it's so sad that only physical aspect is considered. The spiritual aspect of health is not considered. The mental aspect of health is not considered. And, recently I attended a conference on psychiatry, and they said that they were talking about maniac depressive psychosis. And they said that maniac depressive psychosis is not a psychiatric disease at all. It's an endocrine disease. And I was so surprised that the psyche part has been totally vanished from psychiatry. They only consider about materialistic aspect, less GABA, more dopamine. Totally talking about materialistic aspect, not talking about the mind per se. When will that talk be taken around? I doubt. Well, coming back to diabetes.
Yes. Okay, let's go to diabetes, and we'll probably have to do a second show. We've got 30 minutes on the clock to talk about the diabetes, and maybe you can cover it today. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. So diabetes basically, it causes two important aspects as far as the cardiovascular system is concerned. One is premature atherosclerosis, and when I say premature, I say less than 30 years of age. Just imagine a person who has just completed his teens, entered in his adulthood, and prime of his life, and he comes to know that he is diabetic. So sad. This is what diabetes does. And as time goes on, diabetes hardly brings about heart attacks, but what it really does, it causes heart failure, or something called as diabetic cardiomyopathy. Cardio means heart, myo means muscle, and pathy means affection of the heart muscle. What it actually means is the heart has got atria and the ventricles, and the ventricle starts dysfunctioning, means pumping the amount of blood. The pumping efficiency goes down. The normal pumping efficiency of any individual should be above 80%. But when it starts deteriorating 60, 50, 40, 30, 20, that is what we call as heart failure or cardiomyopathy. And this is very, very common with diabetic heart disease. Unfortunately, over years, the life is so miserable because these patients experience total breathlessness on slight exertion. They can't climb stairs, they can't move around, then their life is restricted to a particular area. So it's very sad. And actually the muscle undergoes something what we call as myocardial fibrosis. It loses its strength and its ability to contract, and it becomes not a muscle, but it becomes a fiber. And that fiber just fills with the heart, the pouch actually fills with heart, with blood. And it just, the blood is not pumped out, it just flows. So that is what diabetes does to the heart. Premature atherosclerosis or coronary artery disease before the age of 30 years and heart failure.
So what you're saying is use it or lose it. Because, you know, no matter what it is, whether it is brain function, they say that you have to stimulate your brain and try and do things new ways and use your left hand if you're right-handed, brush your teeth with the other hand, do something up, you know, upside down or backwards. And with your body, you have to keep moving it, the whole body, to get that pump, the heart to pump. It is our pump, isn't it?
Exactly. Now, one of the very basic things which the entire modern medicine concept is, they are totally focused on, as far as investigations are concerned, on blood sugar, fasting, or post-meal levels. I mean, the centricity to the blood sugar levels is not diabetes. Hyperglycemia is just one small aspect of diabetes. It may be there, it may not be there in many people. Still, you can have, because diabetes is a very big disease, you can have symptoms of diabetes, but still your blood sugar may remain normal. So please, by this show, Debbie, I want to tell all the listeners that please, just because your blood sugar is normal, just don't think that I don't have diabetes.
So does that mean I could have diabetes and not know it?
Yes, it's very much possible, provided that you know the symptoms of pre-diabetes stage. And certain symptoms of pre-diabetes are chief affection starts with, say, irritability, sleep disturbances, and polyuria, but still the sugar is normal. Polyuria means increased frequency of urination. Increased thirst. Then inability to bear extreme heat or cold. Tendency to obesity. Increased hunger. Cannot stand hunger. Initially I could control my hunger, but now I have to eat something. Unhealthy skin. Recurrent boils or recurrent fungal infections. It's so sad. Fungus grows on dead structures. And if your skin does not offer resistance and it's allowing fungus to grow, just imagine that you are a diabetic, even if your blood sugar is normal. Hypersensitivity to external impressions. Initially, I could tolerate people contradicting my statements, but now I've become hypersensitive. I just can't tolerate. I blame it on my age. I blame it on my work. But why don't I blame it on myself that I need to change? I may be having diabetes. So all these things are important. Investigations do not always say that you have got diabetes. Blood sugar fasting and post-meal, that is fasting 12 hours and post-meal 1.5 hours or 2 hours after meal. Or glucose tolerance tests, urine sugar, they may come normal. And they are the routine tests one prescribes for a patient of diabetes. Then there would be something called as HbA1c, hemoglobin A1c. It's a standard therapy because the hemoglobin, there's a type of hemoglobin which adheres to sugar levels. And within 120 days, you can detect that. So it's that if it is more than 6.5, the normal value should be less than 6. If it's more than 6.5, that means you are normal still, but then you are going in for diabetes. Yes, you should consider that. Sometimes diabetes is not detected by blood sugar. It is detected by fundoscopy. Fundus examination of retina. And the retina may directly start showing changes of diabetes. So it's essential to do that. Then people should do serum insulin levels also, because there is a state of hyperinsulinemia. Insulin levels are high in diabetes, type 2 diabetes. And that can give an indication, positive indication, that I may go in for diabetes or I have already gone in for diabetes.
So there are many, many ways that we have indications for the pre-diabetic state or whether you are seriously in the diabetic state. And these should be an annual type of a checkup, or how often, or what do you recommend?
If I'm a pre-diabetic, it should be an annual type of checkup. And if I'm a diabetic, it should be a 6-monthly checkup. Whether I'm taking medications or I'm not taking medications, I can control. Many people control diabetes without taking medications by other methods. And the first important fact is the realization that I am a diabetic or I can go in for diabetes. So that realization is important. If the patient is conscious, very well and good. If the patient is not conscious, it is the duty of the practitioner, the medical practitioner, to make him or her realize that to take preventive steps. And the first and foremost thing one should do for prevention is psychotherapy. And when we hear of psychotherapy, it is not only a professional talking to a patient, it is a patient talking to himself or herself. We hardly ever take out time to talking with ourselves. We actually, in the entire world of other people, lose ourselves. Isn't that so sad?
Well, you know, this whole show is about sadness and happiness. So you're saying that a person needs to take time away from being so involved in the worldly aspects, and I mean,
exactly.
I think
1 hour, not more, 20 minutes of your time, 20 minutes of your 24 hours, just talk to yourself. Where are you going? You have just analyze yourself, compare yourself with your previous day, how you are, how better you can be. I think that's not much to ask from any individual. And that is actually the initiation of therapy for diabetes.
Well, let me ask you this, because it seems like you are generations ahead of the crowd. To whenever I speak to you, I'm always so impressed and amazed at the things that you are teaching. So we know that people who attend social functions, religious functions, have better health and longevity. So, for instance, doing yoga or a practice of meditation, prayer, all of these things you would count as talking
therapy,
to yourself?
Therapy. They are absolutely essential, whether you are taking drugs or you are not taking drugs. If you don't do these things and just taking drugs, I doubt very much whether your metabolic disorders, diabetes or any other of any such would be under control. I mean, by lab investigations, they may be under control, but the disease proper keeps on spreading. We first need to realize that at the dynamic level, prayer, talking to oneself, hypnotherapy, yoga, they are essential aspects of medication control, and they supersede any form of medication, including homeopathy.
And even in America, there are hospitals that provide yoga classes, meditation, guided imagery, these type, Reiki, all of these types of things, they are at the forefront of improving
exactly
the quality of health for their patients.
And why don't we realize that medications are the last resort? Medications are not the first resort. And unfortunately, we blame label all these things as auxiliary measures. They are not auxiliary measures. Medications are an auxiliary measure. These are prime measures for treatment and therapy. After these have failed, or if these are failing, then medication comes.
You know, every time I hear you speak, and if you were in a lecture hall and I was in the audience, you would see a huge smile on my face because of this just very innovative thinking. That
it is not innovative. It is so. It is so. Old thinking. And from generations together, all our books, all our, Bible or yoga or Quran, they have been explaining to us this basic thing. Whatever you call as God or, everything, Allah, it's inside you. You realize yourself. Self-realization is important. And when we are dealing with such disorders, which are so saddening, I think one needs to talk to oneself. Forget about, suppose I may not have a chance to go to a yoga class. I may not have a chance to go to a Reiki class, but I can have and I should create a chance to talk to myself, to analyze myself, and that should be an honest attempt. And
well,
if I can't do that, my physician has the right to help me. I should ask my help to my local physician, who is a simple human being.
Right. So when I'm talking to people about doing guided imagery and things like that, basically they make a huge shift in their body language when I just say something like, feel how your shoulders are and let them drop down, because so much of our attention is held there. And whether they are driving or anxious or whatever, just the motion of looking at your inside and talking to your body and seeing what your body is, the signals your body is giving. Just dropping your shoulders is such a huge shift in the way you feel.
Exactly. And then with homeopathy, we have got one important remedy, what we call as constitutional remedy. I mean, when we see the patient's mental state of mind, the state of mind of the patient, and the physical symptoms we take into account, and we prescribe a drug, which is called the constitutional remedy, it really affects the inner core of the patient. And ultimately, all these metabolic disorders are set to pay. Whether it is diabetes or hypertension or ischemic heart disease, the name can change. But constitutional remedies actually prevent jump or transition from pre-diabetic state to a diabetic state. And once diabetes is on, it helps us to reduce our medication and convert ourselves to health rather than from being sick.
So the practice that we just spoke about, talking to the self, talking to yourself holistically, getting yourself together, is similar to having a constitutional remedy prescribed for you because it addresses who you are at a basic level and then can boost your immune system.
Perfectly well. But also there are times when you actually require to reduce blood sugar levels. I mean, the blood sugar levels are so uncontrolled. So we have got particularly homeopathic medicines which like uranium nitricum, cesium jambolicum, phosphoric acid, lactic acid, acetic acid. They are wonderful drugs which per se reduce blood sugar levels, and they need to be given on, say, mother tincture form or decimal scale, say 1x, 2x or 3x on a daily basis for some period of time. And I've got at least 25, 30 patients in whom I could successfully reduce in insulin. I mean, insulin was stopped by load.
Right. So do you go by the theory that if you take something from the outside, like a drug, like taking insulin, it's giving a message to the body that it does not need to function in that capacity any longer? It's really and then the body becomes dependent upon these outside drugs or supplements or things like that.
Yeah, the body has unfortunately a tendency to become dependent. It stops functioning. I mean, what happens, just let me go as far as, see, if I have a blockage in the heart, I mean the arteries, of coronary arteries, say I have developed a blockage of, say, 100% over a period of 5 years, the body has a natural system of a natural bypass. So it creates another artery, which we call as neoangiogenesis. Neo means new, angio means a vessel, and genesis means formation. So new vessel formation is there. Now once we do an angiogram, and suppose if we do a bypass, an artificial bypass surgery, this natural bypass immediately stops. So the body has a very peculiar tendency of first healing itself, but if the healing is stopped by some artificial methods, then it stops its natural healing. So by giving artificial insulin, I agree, in IDDM patients, in insulin-dependent diabetes patients, we may need to give this artificial insulin, but then we should not expect that the natural healing capacity of the body should be as sound as when not giving the artificial drug.
But you said that if you supplement with a mother tincture or a low homeopathic potency of something like 1x
daily, that does not alter the, it helps the pancreas to increase the insulin secretion itself. It's a natural method of healing. We are just, our homeopathic medicines are helping the natural methods of healing, number one. And second, in certain cases where the insulin is not being used, for example, after being secreted from the pancreas, the kidneys are not using the insulin, then my uranium nitricum or my insulin in potency or arsenic or bryony or phosphorus can actually help the kidneys, the receptors, to take in insulin and help it to function. So at the receptor level also, our drugs act. And that is how we are having a natural form of healing.
Did you want to cover the remedies that are specific for this issue and give us some hints as how you would select it, or is that not appropriate for today?
Well, that we can do it for the next show. What I was mainly focusing today, I mean the newer show, was their awareness has to be generated, number one, about diabetes. Second, pre-diabetic state should be very much focused, because it is a state which is completely curable, and homeopathy has got a very great thing to offer. And last thing, for any metabolic disorders, first talk to yourself. Prayers are very, very important, and they really heal in the real sense of the word healing. So these are my four messages for today.
Those are the four messages for the New Year's and the resolutions to realize that happiness, the joy that you have in living and being with others, communicating, and everything in life, is going to actually change your metabolism. It's going to change the way your body functions. We see this in the water experiments of Dr. Ayamoto. And so all of these things is something that you tell your patients?
Yes, surely. And I make them realize that no one is in charge of your happiness except you. So one needs to be in charge of your own happiness and be happy. That's it.
Don't worry, be happy. And if I had the song, I would be playing it for you now. So are we finished today? And we're going to do another show that's going to concentrate more on the homeopathic remedies?
Yeah, how homeopathic remedies, how we select them, how we administer them, how we can reduce insulin levels. We'll be talking about that in the next show on 11th.
Wonderful. I want to thank you for being with us today. We had great sound. A great connection, and I really hope the rest of the year goes this way. Thank you so much. We'll see
you
next
week.
Thank
you very much.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Heart Health and Homeopathy on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio with homeopath Debbie Brock and Dr. Adil Chinsanawala Kasim, MD cardiologist. We encourage you to follow our show. Click the reminder button to receive email notices when the show airs, and share with friends on Facebook and Twitter. Please send in your comments and questions, and we'll see you next time.